It's a new year, 2025, and you're probably thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How can I make this the best year ever? How am I going to build something for myself? I'm dying to be my own boss or see if I can turn this business idea I've been kicking around into a reality. But I don't know how to make that happen. Shopify is the key, and let me tell you how. The best time to start your new business is right now. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates. No coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. Shopify makes it easy to manage your growing business. They help with details like shipping, taxes, and payments from one single dashboard, allowing you to focus on the important stuff, like growing your business. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Established in 2025. Has a nice ring to it, doesn't it? Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/redcircle.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
People in this space are, you said this right, properly able to be weird. It's a Dragonsteel employee that his job was to go around and make sure, did anybody lose things? And I will get it to you if you did lose things. It's like, what? This is a... Sanderson's created just a machine.
The people there knew how to shower.
Welcome, y'all, to another Tutor Ramble episode. I'm one of your hosts, Austin.
I'm the other host, Richard.
We're not just hosts anymore. We are certified panelists.
Yeah, we're just a bunch of leeches on the Dragonsteel Enterprise.
Yeah, we had name tags, which I forgot my name tag.
I got mine.
Okay, while you grab it, this episode, we're going to be talking about our experience at Dragonsteel 2024. As you can see, Rich has it right here. Is it on both sides? Oh, it is on both sides. Nice. Richard at Tutor, so professional and official. This whole episode, we're going to be talking about how it was maybe one of the best vacations we've ever had and best work trip we've ever had simultaneously. That was a Wind and Truth release event for people who don't know. Book 5 of the Stormlight Archive. We're not here to spoil the book or anything. We're also going to have a review on Wind and Truth that comes after this in the future.
Who will try and expedite that video. You know, sorry, Nick, that's when we're going to ask for the rush job.
It's also going to be a long video.
Yeah.
It's a long book.
He's getting a bonus.
Yes. So we're talking about the trip. We were panelists there. I dressed up as Syl. There's a lot to break down.
Yep.
And to start this, we were there for 5 days, I think 6 or 7 nights, but five full days that we spent in Dragonsteel. We flew in on a Monday. We didn't just go to the convention. We flew in to Salt Lake City, where it's held, where Sanderson and the Mormons and...
Mormon country.
Basically, it's Sanderson country, Mormon country, and they got some really good... They're uppity with their food and they're health-centric, I've been noticing. There were some good food options there for people like me.
Yeah, but all that talk about it being a health-centric area...
Yeah.
Also, one of the worst air pollutions in the United States.
Oh, but that's why they make up for it with the food.
Oh, okay. They balance it out. Okay.
So, genuinely speaking, when we landed there, first day of not the con, but landing in Salt Lake City, what were your expectations? Because we've been talking about it on this channel we booked it a year ahead of time.
Yeah.
365 days.
All of my expectations were exceeded. I was expecting, like, oh, it'd be nice to, I'll say hi to a couple people, a few people wave hello, maybe we'll grab lunch with somebody. I expected it. Have a cigar with John from Talking Story and Jacob. And that's all I expected. And then I would get my book. We did a lot more than that. Every second of that trip was packed for doing something with somebody for something.
Rich and I's main takeaway, we were sitting in the car, I think in the plane on the flight on the flight back, and went, you know, that was such an efficient and fun trip. Normal days when we were back home, feel like we could do so much more.
Oh yeah.
The trip was so packed.
I didn't look at memes. I didn't watch YouTube at all.
Which you should not be doing.
The entire trip. Oh yeah, no, don't watch YouTube. Delete YouTube. Always.
But really, we were completely miraged from the real world. There's nothing.
Oh yeah. I think I saw one or two news articles pop up on my phone and went, not today, no. Real world. I'm in fantasy Sanderland.
It did feel like a Disney for us.
Yeah.
An adult Disney, but cooler.
But cool.
Cooler.
Here's the thing.
Yeah.
The demographic of fantasy book fans is a little different from other fantasy convention type stuff that you kind of think of.
Explain. What's the demographic?
Point being, the people there knew how to shower. It smelled fine there. Like, no one stank, and that was a blessing. People were of a certain age and of certain, they had their things together. You know?
People had jobs.
People had jobs and families that went there. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, and I was surprised too. Maybe not surprised. I think I'd say the age range was more so 20s all the way to 50s. 40s or 50s.
Something
that was
like
age range. There weren't much older, and I think maybe that's typical for cons. Maybe that's not rare, but in my head, other cons are all younger people. There was a wide families, single people, old, a lot. Yeah. Age range was all over the place.
Yeah, which was pretty great to see.
It was, and genuinely want to say this. So, Rich, same thing for me. Expectations were far exceeded to the point where you get that post trip FOMO, not FOMO, but the post trip blues.
Yeah. No, I was feeling it. On the flight back,
I was feeling it hard.
Yeah. I also just knew my wallet was crying in pain for the future pain I'm going to cause it. Because now I'm obligated by my own desires to, like, oh, I got to see some of these people again. And that means expensive plane trips.
That was the thing that made it special, too, because Rich and I had the unique opportunity where we, having this podcast, getting not invited, but after we already bought our tickets in the first place, which that was a whole thing of rushing in 30 minutes or less. The VIP tickets were sold out within an hour. The general tickets were sold out. So even getting a ticket there was hard enough. We happened to get tickets. And then being added as panelists, having this podcast, having our patrons who a year out from this event got together an Airbnb and booked out one for 9-10 of them. And had this house ready to go, and they did this. We were not involved at all. We went, oh, this is awesome. They just did this on their own will, because genuinely these patrons who have been supporting us for 2 years at this point, we met them. We've been talking to them for years as well at this point. It's so strange that internet person becomes genuinely real life friend.
Yeah,
it's the parasocial thing. They are all as genuinely
much as much of a friend you can be with someone, you know, purely online capacity. It's different when you meet them in person. There's only so far you can go in, like, levels of friendship purely online.
Mm-hmm.
And then you actually meet him and it's like, oh, it's different now.
It was the proudest I've ever been of us. I went, these are great people. And then them meeting, because that, I mean, we've also seen our friends like Coop and Salty in person. Mm-hmm. We've invited them out here. They live nearby. But we're going to show some pictures of this event. Here's one of them. This is us on the couch. And for those who are audio listeners, we'll do our best to give some context. But this is us on the couch in the Airbnb. From left to right, we have Curtis, who's just looking all giddy. Summer, And Rich right there and laying on top of you two. That's Coop. He does Coop things.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting.
He's our moderator.
And our HR team, clearly HR not going so well right now. He's just sprawling. Like, were you comfortable, Rich, with that laying across you?
I'm glad when you need an HR person that clearly is abusing their power. That's what you love. That's what you want to see.
What? And so on the floor, that's me and Salty, right? Salty Caleb right next to me. Behind, we have in the back.
He's also an admin.
He's also an admin, yes. And Summer is.
No. Summer's not an admin. She's
a moderator. Yeah, she'll get there one day, Summer. One day. Summer's from New Zealand. She's got to be closer, you know, be a real admin. But truly, we just want to get invited to New Zealand and go there. And
yeah, that's true.
We actually are. It's just expensive.
Yeah, no. We will be going to New Zealand. It's just money and time.
Summer, we will be there. We will be there. So one then day. On the back, we have Anais, and we have Rachel, and we have Mads. And Rachel is Salty's wife, and then Anais and Mads have been all patron members for so long now. Like Mads, and at this point, Mads, like 2 years?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She was our first woman patron member as well.
Thank you, Mads. you made us not look like completely just a sausage fest. It
was a sausage fest before that, and then Mads came in, and it became even more of a sausage fest.
Mads, you know what he's implying. So, and we also, Henkel wasn't in this picture, but Henkel was also there. Also, Coop's friend Jackson. But we had a whole crew, and this is how cool it was. I'm sorry if this isn't super relatable for people. It's just us gushing about genuinely the experience of going to this con, being there 2 days prior. We'll talk about that. But at the convention itself, we were just a mob of friends walking around the con to the point where other BookTubers, so we Bookborn being one of them, who just kept running into our group. Daniel Green kept running into our group, and they would always refer to the Tudor Ramble, like the Tudor Ramble mob that was over there just kind of going around the con and splintering into groups. It was so cool because other BookTubers even looking at we're just looking at a group, like how tight-knit the community is. It was just so cool to see that. That wasn't happening to us. I think we were really privileged just to have like a group of friends there.
Yeah.
And that made the con infinitely better.
It made it so much better of actually bringing around. Like, it's so one, think about this. There's a couple layers here of one. Yeah. This is the internet. Overall, I wouldn't consider the internet particularly social in the real sense. You know, you're interacting with like people online, but I find the internet to be very isolating. I think you're talking with people, but you're not talking with people. You're putting up a different kind of face that you wouldn't normally interact that way with. Mm-hmm. And then on top of that, we do books. Fantasy books already, like that's an isolating hobby. It's not a really social hobby to get into. So all these things together, and that was the most social convention I've ever been to. It's the most social I've ever been personally.
Yeah.
Of the amount of friends, amount of people coming up to us, the amount that when we went to panels, we had our front row was basically filled just for us to support us, and it was always great.
Oh, it's so wholesome. Wholesome.
It felt nice having lots of friends with us at one place.
And no dig to our friends in here. We're in Virginia. We've had friends now for decades. You know, years. We've had a friend group here.
We have friends.
But what I respect. Yeah. Just me convincing myself we have friends.
But sometimes.
Not all of them. Some read books because we just hound them to read books, but don't love them as much as we do, but to have a common interest with everybody here of, oh, fantasy books, Sanderson books, mm-hmm. and then another layer deep of, I feel like people in this space are, you said this right, properly able to be weird.
Mm.
Embracing the weird.
And sure.
Like our friends here, some weird is in the case of just do something fun or go out there, I'll show you some fun videos of a Salty humming the Dune theme and all sorts of it just felt fun and like we were in a group of
we'll say
weird people like us.
Hey, you guys are weird and we love that about you. It was great.
Weirdos.
But you are weird. Don't think that you're normal. You're all weird.
Yeah, it just felt cool because it's a strange thing to just be. It's a cool and strange thing to be this into fantasy books. And typically you don't just walk around, and people love movies and you can find an MCU fan, but this is pretty niche. Mm-hmm. Outside of it, you can't find a lot of people that could talk about this. But that aside, here's the next picture, just to show you our day that we, the two days we spent in Salt Lake. This is a picture of us on a frozen lake. We were doing some hikes.
It was fun.
It was a lot of fun. That was us with Mads, Rachel, and Anais. And we had another pic. Oh, this is embracing the weird. This is exactly what I'm talking about here. Oh. So I'm gonna. Here we go. This is if you want to embrace the weird. Here's what our friend group looked like when we were there in Salt Lake.
You'll get there.
There it is. I'm going home. I'm flying
home. Lisa, no,
I'm flying home.
But it's weird, right? It's great. No, and so weird. Accurate. Like, that was a really good dude impression.
It was really good. No, yeah. He's got that Mongolian throat singing down. I was very impressed.
You want to give it a shot?
All right. Let's try it. Oh, God. That, I can't hold a candle to that, you, Salty. I can't do it.
I think that could also come across as very racist in the wrong context.
It could, just say, but also,
yeah.
I don't know. They could laugh. I don't care.
And no, I'm just imagining you clip that so out of context. You're going, me, and then just start.
God, I'm still getting over that cold. I think my throat like keeps closing up every time I try and do it.
You're still sick a little bit.
Maybe like,
getting better. Okay,
I'm getting better. I feel better.
Is that so? What is it? People are actually doing voice acting on Dune that's making that sound that's not an instrument?
Yeah, pretty sure.
Well,
I'm pretty
sure. I couldn't do it. Not me.
No.
I'm not going to try.
You're a man of few talents.
So this is the group we were with, and we had all of us sitting there. And there's Henka on the very left. This is all of us sitting on the windowsill. It's a two-floor Airbnb they got. And us out on the salt flats.
That's a good photo.
That's a great photo.
Like the off center.
Why? Because you're in front.
I took it. No, I took it. I was like, I was impressed. I took the diagonal. It's good.
So you like it because you took the picture and you're in front. Is that
also?
That what
I love how it just so close to cutting Rachel out of the picture completely. I was almost there.
Almost completely. And Jackson showed up in a picture for once. He was not fond of pictures.
No, he did not like them.
But there he is. And then we have. Oh, then me next to Syl in preparation for what.
A little foreshadowing, yeah.
Yeah, little foreshadowing. And then, of course, our proposal on the salt flats, which was beautiful scenery.
You ever send that to Nicole?
She saw it.
Okay, good.
She did see it.
I'm glad she did.
Yeah, for those that got recently engaged, and that is that's me engaged, proposing to Rich, and he is refusing.
Yeah.
So, but those days, what was your... So those were 2 days we spent before Dragonsteel even started in Salt Lake. What did you think of Salt Lake? Were you primed to going, man, I could already go home and I had fun? Like, I mean, I guess, how were you feeling?
Oh, no, I had a great time, but Salt Lake feels a lot like New Mexico for me. So it was kind of like back home. The weather, the landscape, the mountains, everything about that felt like home. So I quite enjoyed the whole scenery and everything about that.
Yeah.
So I also got Wiener Schnitzel hot dogs, which I was missing.
You did. You were driving us back to the Airbnb. And you said, I'm taking a detour. And nothing was going to stop you between you and your schnitzel. You were like, I love the wiener schnitzel. You were like humming. It was freaky, guys.
I got to have my chili dog. I haven't had one in over a year, and it was good.
They're only in that West Coast or Midwest?
Yeah, Midwest area, yeah. Generally. I don't know where else, but it's at the very least, it's not on the East Coast.
Yeah. So big takeaway so far is if you want to go to Dragonsteel next year at future conventions, try to go with a group.
Yeah.
Definitely bring a group, family members, whatever. It will be a lot more fun because we even had fun before starting the actual Dragonsteel, which now we should talk about, right?
Yeah.
Dragonsteel.
You know, how many, 17 minutes in, we'll actually talk about Dragonsteel.
So actually, the very first picture I have on this con had to be with Christopher Rocchio.
Oh, what a man.
What a legend.
The man, the myth, the legend. God, that was such a special author to actually meet.
Yes.
I'll be honest, a little part of me is going like, I was as excited, if not more, to meet Christopher rather than Sanderson.
And did we meet Sanderson?
We did not meet Sanderson. No, we did not. So maybe that's cope. Maybe I'm coping. But I'm not.
We didn't just meet him, but the second day, which we'll get to, we had dinner with Christopher Rocchio, which was a fantastic time, and we gushed about our hate of a particular movie, which I'll get into.
Yeah.
But this first day, do you remember actually the first author that we met at the con? Actually right before. It was the night before the con started. I think it's important we mention this.
The night before, yes. Yeah. I do remember. We got to meet Matt Dinneman.
Yeah, Dungeon Crawler Carl.
Which was great. Matt Dinneman and Daniel Green was also there.
Yes.
Can't forget old Daniel.
Daniel's, we bumped into him like 3 or 4 times before we got to sit down and chat with him.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine how busy he was.
Oh, yeah.
Compared to little old us.
Well, he had books to sell. Books to sell. A lot of panels.
Hosting.
He was doing a bunch of stuff.
He was interviewing Matt Dinneman for the church we were in. That's where that's where the event was held.
And I don't think it was for the church, but it was at the church.
Yeah, that's the correct verbiage. I don't think they're part of the church.
No.
But Matt Dinneman and Daniel Green, it was hosted in this church, and that's where the signing was. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, no, Matt Dinneman is a very smart writer. He knows what he's talking about with his craft, and what I love about him giving advice compared to many other authors as well. Many authors they know what they're doing when it comes to writing, but I don't think they always explain what they're doing in the best way. They talk about it in very vague terms, where Matt gives very specific, concrete examples of what he's learned as a writer and what to do and what not to do, or at the very least what works for him. So I appreciate hearing what his thoughts were on the craft of writing.
And then he continued to be on a ton of panels throughout the whole con, which, I guess, starting off, how would you explain the con to people of what events were there? How did it function? If people are curious about going, or your highlights of what you think the best stuff at the con was?
I mean, the best parts at the con, I think, were seeing all of the other authors out there. And so for us, at least, it was meeting all the different people. But for most people, it was the panels. That there were a bunch of different panels and discussions and bunch of different kinds of people, both people on Sanderson's team and YouTubers, authors, all talking about everything to do with fantasy, sci-fi, and the Cosmere itself. So there was a panel called Moash is Right, or In Defense of Moash was the panel's name, which was pretty fun to see of people like somehow trying to defend that Moash is actually a good guy, kind of. Or they didn't go that far.
Saying you can sympathize.
You can sympathize with him, which, fair enough, I guess you can.
Yep.
Doesn't mean I want to or have to, but you can.
But there were fun panels like that.
Yeah.
And you can, how it worked is you could go through, there's usually 3 events going on at once where you could go into panels in different rooms. And that's one of the ones we ended up doing, we'll talk about. Mm-hmm. So you had panels going on, but then there was this main room where the food and everything, where you got the books, and behind there is where a lot of the knickknacks were, where you could go and meet the exhibitors, where all the authors like Rocchio were there, Dan Wells, Daniel Green. You'd walk up, get signings, and Robin Hobb was there.
Fonda Lee.
Bunch of fantastic authors. And there was other cool events where you got to play some RPG games. There's also not just selling books, there were merchants who were selling art. And then a lot of just cool knickknacks as well. So, and dice, you could imagine it. But
there's also a whole arena where people were fighting with foam shard blades and shard plate. It was really cool. There was also just actual armor fights, demonstrations.
They thought this through so well. I wasn't most impressed with 2 things. We were in line because the line to get into the merch shop at the BYU store, not the BYU store, sorry.
The Dragonsteel store. The
Dragonsteel store was very long and always long because people were trying to get in there. Leather bounds and all sorts of knickknacks. So in the line, they had a person standing there doing Family Feud style trivia and another person singing music for the people waiting in line because they knew it would be kind of grueling waiting there for a half hour just to buy stuff inside a store. So they had entertainment at the line. And on top of that, when we were waiting in the line to get Wind and Truth at the end of day 1, as we were waiting in line, this guy was kind of coming around and proactively checking with people if we'd lost anything and seeing if it was on the lost and found list. Just a Dragon Steel employee that his job was to go around and make sure, did anybody lose things? And I will get it to you if you did lose things. It's like, what? This is a... Sanderson's created just a machine.
It's proactive. Now, were there hiccups in the sense of, like, it was just so many people that... were they completely prepared for the amount? I don't know completely, because a lot of different events had to, like, run quickly or the timing was off. And but
I didn't see much of that. I have no complaints about how it was ran.
No, that's the thing, is it's hard to nitpick when you had that level of detail. But I just remember a couple times of, like, again, we paid for the VIP tickets. Oh. And there was a couple times where we're supposed to have a VIP slot to be able to get into an event, and they let in the rest of the people early because they had, like, there were just too many people lining up. They're like, we got to get people in this room now. And so when we got there, I'm going, damn. paid a lot of money to get the front of the line.
We did get in the front row for the Sanderson release event.
We did.
We did, yeah.
We did, thankfully. But
yes. Yeah.
It's stuff like that, though, but there was just so many people.
There were.
There was so many.
It functioned. They had so much staff, and it was cool because even some of the staff watched the pod, so it kind of helped us, like, stay late and talk to some, like, Rocchio at one time. But I'm just saying, Sanderson was, the team was doing so much. I'm like, take me out to dinner first. Like, this is crazy. Like, I know you're.
And then on top of that, the thing that we were not into, or not that we weren't into it, it's really cool. We just didn't have the time to get really involved in it.
Yeah,
was there was a whole game for the whole 3 days of collecting cards that when the more panels you go to, the more stamp, like, there was a whole stamp system where you go to a panel, you get a stamp. If you find someone in a certain kind of outfit, you can get a wild card stamp. You fill out these stamps, you get packs of cards, you trade with other people, and you're trying to complete a whole set that told a short story.
On the back of the cards. There's art on one side, story on the other side.
And when you put it all together, it creates a short story for Stormlight, which is really cool. It's so sick.
It's so cool.
And so many people were walking around and trading cards, trying to find these wild cards or these really rare ones. And it was just a whole game tied into the whole experience.
Yes. Bookborn was on a mission to get all those cards. She did great.
She went hard in the paint there.
We felt like we didn't have the time, but our patrons and our friends got together.
My friend Bradley.
Your friend Bradley too, yeah.
Yep, he came with us to the convention as well, and I convinced him to read. Well, we had an extra ticket. So I asked him, hey, do you want to come to this convention with me in a couple months? And he's like, yeah, I'd be interested. I was like, well, have you read Stormlight? No, I haven't. Read that first, and then let me know. And if you like it, then you can come on to the convention. And he just tore through it and he loved it. So he came with us and it was awesome.
That was also so cool.
But no, he's the one of our group that really collected all the cards together and got organized them. And
do we have that booklet, or is that with somebody else?
That's here.
Should we announce the giveaway?
Sure. Yeah, why not?
So this is our, so for those of you that are still tuned in to this point, we have this book we were just talking about where the entire collection, is that correct, Rich? There's every single card is in there for the story?
For the story, I believe so.
Yes.
There's some rarer cards missing. I think there's in the very end.
There are, okay.
Like some art ones.
Okay.
But what are we giving away?
At the book.
Are we giving away the whole thing?
I believe so. One of our lucky patrons here.
Fair enough.
I think so. I don't know exactly how we'll do this giveaway.
Wait, one of the patron members?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so this, because I think that is the plan to give back to the community. And
not just a viewer, but a patron member. I just wanted to clarify.
I think that's what they wanted us to do, because they the group gave it to us with the intention to give it to
a patron member.
I believe so. So for this book,
that's what we're doing.
Yeah, so if for anybody that is, you want to show some of the pictures, that it looks very cool.
Yeah. So I think there are a couple missing ones, but it's nearly complete.
Yes.
Like very some nice. Of the odd ones, but
oh yeah,
some of the art here I'll flip through,
and it tells the stories. Oh yeah, there we go. And so it's this entire booklet Very cool stuff. And I really think we should. So I guess we're going to announce this in the Discord. And like after this video, we'll decide how to do the draw or give it away. But we're going to be giving that to one of them. I feel like because
sure.
instead of just a viewer, I feel like because they, the patrons that put it together, we'll do that. You can tell the planning we put into this giveaway.
I didn't know.
It was very thorough.
We got a bunch of other cards as well. We need, I think I'm going to start putting them into our bookmark envelopes. I'm just going to throw them in there just to, here you go.
Yeah.
Here's cool cards alongside. Take it.
I mean, we gave away bookmarks at the con too.
We gave away a lot.
150 of them. Do you remember?
I didn't think about how much money that really was of our inventory.
It's okay.
It's fine. I just took a whole stock. I'm like, yeah, just give me like, I don't know, 150, 200 bookmarks. Let's see how many of it. Let's give them away.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was trying to burn through those, but hey, we got rid of every single one.
Because at the end of one of our panels, Rich announces, yeah, if anybody wants to come up and get a free bookmark. And we're on this panel with other authors to the left of us. And so everybody at the end of the panel all runs up to our side of the table at the panel. Everyone asking for a bookmark. And I felt so bad. All the other authors there who were just finished speaking at the panel as well. There was like nobody there because they didn't have free stuff to give.
Yeah, I felt a little bad after that. That was like,
yeah, you asshole.
Yeah, we kind of sucked the attention away. That was not very cash money of us.
No,
not at all.
But okay, we'll discuss the Lost Tales, the Stormlight booklet right after so we can actually figure out what we're doing with
it. We'll figure it out.
Okay, we'll figure that out. But, so talking about that day one at the con, weaving ourselves back to that, we started our day there, and one of the first people we met was John and Jacob from Talking Story. We went to the opening ceremony event with Fonda Lee and Dan Wells, and right after that we ran into Jaden and Marty, and from the next chapter, and John and Jacob from Talking Story, and already talking about how we have our Discord in that group and great friends, but it was even cooler. Fellow creators, fellow booktubers like Talking Story are the best people, and again, made more genuine friends. And you even had a cigar night with John from Talking Story, and that was pretty cool.
I had a great time.
I wasn't there, but I saw the aftermath.
John was not doing okay. Next time we have to pick a different vice because he's not built for cigars anymore, which is good. That's good. But still, he was not looking too good afterward.
It was hilarious, his reaction.
Yeah,
but we spent so much.
He
of
was
time
still
with
a
them.
Great. That's the thing. When he stood up, things started to go bad.
Yeah.
But when we were sitting down having a cigar, it was a great conversation. Good time.
Yes.
It's when he stood up, then it's like. It was all downhill from there.
It's that old age is getting to him, you know?
It is.
He's past his prime, let's be honest. His son, Jacob, he's getting there, too. Is he younger than us? Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Is he?
Yes.
No, he isn't.
Yes, he is.
Oh, God.
We're at the age now where you look at professional athletes and you go, wow, look at that. Youngster? What? They're 25? Have five cars? What?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're at that age of a lot of people are younger than us and far more impressive. And it's oof, hurts the old ego. You do need to be knocked down a peg or two every now and again, though.
You do. But the joy about youth and you being in high school or college is all the potential.
Yeah.
You can't ever be looked at as, oh, what could I have done? Or look at all these people. You can still compare yourselves, of course. There's beauty standards, all sorts of stuff, which is bad for psyches. But at least you could go, wow, I could be successful. But then the further you get and you just see now the people that were so much younger than you.
Isn't it terrible of when you like your birthday comes around and you realize like, what did I do in this past year? Absolutely nothing. That was a wasted birth year. That hurts. That hurts a little bit.
It does.
That was actually like the year before. Like my birthday before we started the podcast was I had one of those years of like, ooh, I accomplished nothing this whole year. That's not good.
Did that push you to start the pod?
Yeah, that was a strong push of like, I got to do anything.
Something.
Something of like, hey, look, I did a thing. I needed something in the win column.
Honestly, even looking at the Salt Lake, this Dragonsteel trip, that week felt like, a month in a good way.
And well, we fit in a lot of stuff.
Yes.
In terms of we met so many different people, met authors, we did panels with the amount of interviews, just meeting our new friends. It was organizing for different, trying to organize events for our whole group was also very difficult, and trying to schedule times to meet people.
Yes. I mean, just a lot. So Rocchio, here's a picture of us with Rocchio here. This is Marty, Jaden, and me, Rich, John, and sorry, I said Jaden, then Marty. That's me, Rich, John, Jacob from Talking Story. That's Bradley, your high school friend.
Yep.
Great dude. And this is first day meeting people. That was Matt Dinneman the night before Dragonsteel. And he, by the way, Matt Dinneman apparently had watched some of our Dungeon Crawler Carl reviews. And he was a bit snarky about that.
Yeah.
We gave positive reviews of Dungeon Crawler Carl, and he wrote in either your book or mine. Was it yours? He signed, "I give this..."
I think it was you.
Yeah, he says, "I give this a 2.57 out of making fun of our rating systems."
Yeah.
Which was very cool. And then we had... Patrick Leo. That's Rich via Patrick Leo there. We have Summer on the left, and that's our friend Summer. And on the right, we have Michael J. Sullivan. And then in the middle, we have Michael R.R. Miller, who we had lunch with as well. He is the author of Ascendant, right behind you.
Where is it?
Directly.
There we go.
There it is. That's Michael R.R. Miller right there.
I actually read his books before we actually started the podcast.
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
And there is Sanderson, because that was the actual release event. That right? Oh, before I get to that last picture, this is Sanderson. This was the actual release event right here, where Wind and Truth was released. Now, what did you think about his? He had a speech at the end of the day, and literally at the end of the day, it was the event of the night.
Interesting speech. He's a very good public speaker.
Yeah.
But the overall theme, I believe, of the speech was basically a case against like gatekeeping, and don't nudge people out of, oh, that's not real fantasy. And I think centering around the new phenomena of like romantasy being kind of a new trend in the whole genre, and that a lot of modern fantasy readers will go like, hey, that's not real fantasy. It's, you know, that's this, it's not real literature. It's not real books. And Sanderson's going like, I remember when that happened to our genre. Don't treat their genre like others have treated us. Which, fair enough. Not every genre is for you. Don't need to denigrate people for their choice of genre. But also doesn't mean you have to say like, oh yeah, all genres are equally great. And, you know. But it was an interesting point. I disagree with him on the nature of gatekeeping. I think there's a place for gatekeeping of you gatekeep
like you from my house.
Yeah. That's a good thing. Okay. But no, I was talking with John from after this of if people want to come into the space and want to adopt what it is, great. Accept everyone. It's awesome. It's when you start having people come into your fandom, your group, and they want to change it. That's where it's like, I want to stay how it is. That's why I like it here. Because I've seen way too many fandoms that I've just dropped away because it's been invaded by other people that want to change it. Mm-hmm. And then it changes. And then it's no longer the thing I want anymore. I'm like, okay. And I'm nudged out again. Okay. On to new thing.
Well, I think with his point about Fourth Wing, ACOTAR, and those kind of books, mm-hmm. which we've reviewed on the channel, I think in a good way, because we're not fans of that subgenre. Mm-hmm. So it was cool when we interacted or had the fantasy fangirls come on. That was really fun for us. But I think more so he's saying, if you read Fourth Wing and these kind of things, when they go on to read Stormlight and like Stormlight, go like, hey, just because they're a fan of something you think is lesser or not as high literature, because he was really honing in on the point that fantasy isn't seen as literature. It's kind of gatekept from not necessarily awards yet. They're given awards and there are awards for it, but in the space is seen as lesser than your
Lonesome Doves.
Lonesome Doves.
And
exactly.
Even that's a Western. It's also went through the exact same standard as fantasy is.
Yep.
There's a lot of Western, because before the superhero before the fantasy. No, it was the Western. That was your popular popular genre that a bunch of people did a bunch of trash, just slop stories in. But then you also had things like Lonesome Dove, which is beautiful.
And movies, too. There's so many, but the ones that stand the test of time, like The Good, Bad, Ugly, et cetera. So, but Sanderson, the way he started the speech was the most... Okay, the most I've ever asked myself at the beginning of a speech of going, how is he going to conclude here? How is this connecting? Where are you going with this? Because he started by saying, I've been obsessed. It's my horrible Sanderson impression. I've been obsessed lately with Maximilian Robespierre. Is it Maximilian is his first name?
Something like that.
But Robespierre, if for those who don't know, Robespierre was in the French Revolution, was the guillotine guy. He was one who was chopping off heads left and right in the revolution, got a little head choppy, heavy. And in the end of the revolution, he got his own head chopped off. Bit of parallel structure, bit of, you know, cathartic feeling in that. It's almost like a real story. You just see, you start with chopping the heads, you end with your own head chopped off. There's some poetry to that.
Yeah. Basically, what you're telling me is that history's fake and it's actually all written by the deep state.
Precisely. And so in this Maximilian Robespierre, I'm like, Sanderson, where are you going with this? Like, what is happening here? He connected that to gatekeeping and he kind of ends the speech going, I hope this isn't too much of a stretch. But all I'm saying, kids, all I'm saying is let's not chop the heads off of Fourth Wing and ACOTAR fans. It's basically what he's saying of don't gatekeep, because then it'll turn around back on you too, of saying, hey, don't go chopping heads off. Because your head is also prime for chopping.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, Sanderson. Did not expect that for the speech, but he made great points. And then the release event happened, and we waited in line, and it was marvelous.
Yeah.
And nothing happened while we were in line. Nothing happened in that interim.
We met some people.
No, I was going to say that was Sill moment.
That was also the
That was your opportunity to, you know what? I'm taking it now. I'll own it.
Here we go. because Austin lost, Austin had to dress up as Sill for that whole release event, which was great. I loved seeing it.
That's Rich V, and in the middle, that's Andres, who was wearing our merch at Dragonsteel. Yeah. Andres, you're the man. He had the only thing bad about it, he's wearing the Democracy is Cringe merch.
Correct.
Not the Teeter My Totter merch, which was unfortunate. But he caught us while I was in that Sill outfit, and to show you some photos so you can all just, yeah, there we go. So that's in the front row. That's me. That's Rich. And if you couldn't tell who I am the one with the wig. I know I do look very beautiful. It's hard to tell sometimes. I actually was told when I had the Sill outfit on, like, oh, Austin, is that you? I thought you were like some supermodel. But I was like, stop it, guys. Okay. It's okay. So that's my beautiful dress. And then another picture. We got Marty in the picture a little bit there. And there's Nez in the background and me. And hopefully the last one.
That's a good one. That's the good photo.
That is. That's me next to the Sill cardboard cutout. Pretty close.
Needed to get your body paint. But it's okay.
Yeah, that would have been hard to take off.
Yeah, it would have been hard. Yeah.
And then we have, that's us waiting in line for the Wind of Truth event right there. Also want to say, because while I was waiting there, Carson, another patron friend of ours, was standing with somebody toward the middle of the line. And I just hear this cackling, like, and I turn, I see Carson, and he's waving to me. I look over and I wave back, and there's this woman next to him who's like pointing, laughing at me. Like, just going, look at that guy. And Carson's just like, thanks.
Good.
Some people got a kick out of it. I think it was.
I did.
Yeah.
I appreciated being.
It's a new year, 2025, and you're probably thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How can I make this the best year ever? How am I going to build something for myself? I'm dying to be my own boss or see if I can turn this business idea I've been kicking around into a reality. But I don't know how to make that happen. Shopify is the key, and let me tell you how. The best time to start your new business is right now. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates. No coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. Shopify makes it easy to manage your growing business. They help with details like shipping, taxes, and payments from one single dashboard, allowing you to focus on the important stuff, like growing your business. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Established in 2025. Has a nice ring to it, doesn't it? Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/redcircle.
The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Right. You know what I mean? Just like, I don't know. I like winning.
Yes.
I enjoy it.
You ended up completing all of the, for people that don't know, what'd you have to do for me to wear this whole outfit? We're just assuming people are in on it. We gotta give more context.
I had to read all of Stormlight again in 1 month on top of that, the secret projects, and then also, yeah, that was basically what I had to do. It was a lot of reading.
It was quite a lot of reading.
But I did it.
Yes.
Because I didn't want to wear the Shallan outfit.
I gotta say, this is probably the most rambling we've done in a while because I'm trying to meander us back again to go, because in this first day where we kind of, you know, release event happened at the end of the day, we met JD and Marty and Jaden, we had John talking story, but the things we actually did throughout the start to finish of that day, we were going into panels. We didn't have our dinner the first night. We had dinner with John and Jacob from Talking Story that night, and we hung out with them for most of the con. They were our best buds there. There are
new bros.
Yes, and yeah. that was amazing. But do you remember anything for significant from day one that stuck out to you that you want to point out that I'm glossing over?
I do want to mention that we also ran into Jeff again, which we ran into him. He also watched our stuff. He was in at, so he's from another place. I won't dox his state, I guess, but he's somewhere else. Yeah, yeah. I'll give his address. His address in the link below.
If you want to get that giveaway, just copy and paste Jeff's address.
And post it. No, but anyway, so he was flown in somewhere to go to a DC. He was in DC, and he met us at this convention there. He recognized us, chatted up there. It was good meeting him. And we're talking about books. And then he also met us at Dragonsteel. And it was just such a weird, like,
great guy
on different sides of the country. And we met him at both conventions. And then he also joined our Patreon.
Yes.
And now I was just talking with him the other night, which was great.
Oh, that's sweet. It's so cool because I think this niche is so passionate about our hobby here that you're willing to go cross country to events like that. It's less rare to bump into the same people because Michael R. Miller, who we hung out with, had lunch with him. He's obviously an indie author selling his books, but he's going to cons. He's in the UK, but came to Dragonsteel in Salt Lake City. It was that big of an event. If you're to go to any convention ever, this is the one to go to. And that's just not me saying. When Daniel Green, we were chatting with him, he likewise said, this is the best run convention there is in fantasy. It is just a well-oiled machine. They have, there's so many people and there's such a large amount of staff and such a large amount of people coming. Some things get missed. here and there, but they're so responsive.
They're responsive. They had a lot of actual things to do. It's not a very passive con where it's just like there are other conventions where it's just panels and stuff to buy.
Yep.
This was not it. There's a whole story to find and collect. There's games. There's craft sessions. There's actual tabletop games to play. There's, I mean, my God, then you also get the big whole convention with Sanderson and his big events. And
yes,
it was just busy.
It was very busy. And I moving on to day two, just to give some highlights of that day, this is where we finally get to Rich and I as panelists for the first time. How was that?
At first, you think it's going to be weird, and then you realize, oh, this is just a podcast, but live. And then it felt like, oh, this is our element. I don't know.
We had mics in front of us.
We had mics in front of us, and we get to yap about fantasy world building.
The first one we did was Unique Magic Systems.
Yeah, which...
So that was our first, that was like, I think it was 4 p.m. on the second day, and we had three other indie authors, one of them being the author of A Thousand Deaths of Arthur Benn, Tyler Whitesides, whose book we had reviewed a couple years ago at this point, over a year ago, and we gave it a really bad review. So it was a little interesting to see, oh, we're reviewers now having to confront the people that were critiquing.
Yeah.
We were obviously very friendly with him. He's a great guy.
No, but yeah, great guy.
Horrible writer.
Also the writer.
No. We didn't like the book, but he's a great guy.
We didn't like the book. Yeah. But also, he was on the right panel of Unique Magic Systems. If you can say anything about The Thousand Deaths of Otter Bend, definitely a unique magic system.
It's about dragon poop.
It's dragon poop.
It's very unique.
We talked a lot about dragon poop on that panel.
We did. There was a lot of jokes about that. I think But Tyler, if he's not watching, he saw our one review and said, never again, can't trust these guys. But great dude. And so on this day, the panel, we're going up there. We have our name tags all set up. You set up the camera as well in the back, which we will be posting the panelist footage as soon as we can and have that together.
It will be terrible quality because it was set on autofocus. That's on me. And basically, it was in focus, and then I had to leave the camera. And then someone walked in front of it, and it focused on them the entire time. So it's blurry as hell. The sound is but it's there.
We made it.
We'll have it. It's listen to it if you want to. You don't have to. But we have a 30-day, like we can't post things for 30 days. But that'll be soon then.
Yes, that'll be very soon. And so we were on this panel. I think it was a 2,000-person seating arrangement or near that, and about half full.
Roughly like that.
So it was a large turnout. I was surprised because on the other, I think across the hall, Sanderson was doing his event not the live reading with Michael Kramer and Kate Redding, but Sanderson was doing something because he had some events going throughout the days. Some people were lucky enough to run into him. We were not.
Yeah.
So we almost got him a couple times. But then we had, this is our picture on the night we had out with John, Jacob from Talking Stories. Of course, you're going to hear them a lot. And we had Steve Diamond all the way in the back there next to me and Christopher Rocchio, who Rich sat next to promptly. We also had Udi, who's not pictured here, and Casey, who has a BookTube channel as well. Great guy. But you sat next to Rocchio with a passion and a purpose.
That was deliberate. No, Rocchio, if you're watching this, I planned the seating arrangement. I was like, I'm sitting next to him. I get to now talk to the author now. It's going to be great.
I'm the talker now. You will listen.
I don't want to be at the end of the table.
You are socially incapable of leaving this voluntarily. Your food is in front of you. You had a captive audience.
It was great. But no, he is a genuine guy. Also just incredibly smart. I understand why his books are good. Because his brain think good.
Please tell me you didn't say that to him.
I probably sound very similar. Yeah.
Well, we will definitely have him on the channel, and that would be a fun interview.
But the main thing is I really appreciate his take on his critique of Dune overall and the message of are heroes necessary? And Dune kind of deconstructing the hero and that, hey, sometimes to take down a villain, you really do need a hero, and it's not all black and white. Anyway, I liked his lack of cynicism.
Yes.
While still having that little moral ambiguity was pretty fun to discuss with, especially with his books. Definitely. Yeah, no, he's definitely one of my favorite living authors today, and I'm so happy he's seeing so much success recently.
Definitely. Yeah, we talked a lot about Dune when we were sitting down. Obviously, his Sun Eater series, he was inspired by Dune a lot. Also had his critique of Dune and the messianic figure, it being a warning about that. He said, well, like you said, what about your Churchills? He was saying, okay, yeah, Hitler's messianic figures, you know, cult following, but then there's also your leaders who have charisma that you need.
Yeah.
And so that he's, what's Teddy the Roosevelt. Balance? Yeah, what's the balance there? So he's presenting that. And anyways, we were chatting about how him and I have this very rare take of our very big disappointment with Dune Part 2 and the film and just how it represented the book. And we were bonding and it felt great. Gave just a firm handshake of like, I felt seen, I felt vindicated. And he just went up my author hierarchy.
Good.
Just from that dinner. I'm like, wow, damn it. It's going to be so hard to review your books because now I know you've got the correct opinions.
I am very happy I read his books before meeting him.
Me too.
Because now I can say I read Demon in White and every book before, before meeting him. And so my opinion on the book is untainted.
Yes.
Now, book four on,
tainted.
It's tainted. It's a tainted opinion.
Yep.
Though I'm not too worried.
Me either.
Spoiler alert, they're all good. You should probably read all of them. I've heard from no one that it drops off.
Like, yeah.
They're just all amazing. So.
And I finished Howling Dark before the convention. So I give that a 5 stars before meeting him.
Mm-hmm.
And Demon in White, when it gets to 6 stars, you know, the extra stars because I met him.
Yeah.
So great guy. And Steve Diamond behind him is works with Rocky a bunch, has his own authorship. He is also a fantastic guy. And he was given some cool thoughts. He has his own podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And I wish I had the name at the top of my head. I want to find it. There's going to be a lot of links in the description, I imagine, for this one. But he has his own podcast, talks writing advice, runs Chris Verrocchio's and helps with the special editions.
Mm-hmm.
That they did for Emperor of Silence. KC's booktuber at the end here, Udi, who left right before, didn't get to talk much to them because I was on the opposite end of the table. And then this is the old man, John, and child, Jacob. Because he's definitely younger than us.
I guess.
Just you're qualming with your slow progression to death right now. I think it's...
I know.
You just got to realize... Are you? Oh, I know what it is. You turn. You turn 27 soon.
Yeah.
Like less. Ooh, very soon. By the time this video is out, you'll be 27.
Yeah.
Wow.
3 more years until it's all downhill.
No, we're guys. We have until 40.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
No, I just know that like 30 is when all of a sudden, like on my 30th birthday, I'm just all of a sudden going to have back problems.
I already do.
I know.
You know, my sciatica is, oh, it's bad.
I had lower back problems for a while, and I think I've kind of worked my way out of it. But then again, I need to go on like another 30-mile hike for
maybe me
to
PT.
Discover it. Because that's when it comes out. It's like, oh, 20 miles in, then the back starts
getting...
I'm
not built for this. There's a reason I'm not the 25-year-old athlete with 5 cars. Got it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But no, it was great hearing all the insider baseball from all of them. Like Rocchio's insight onto the... hearing his takes on publishing in general and how basically a lot of changes probably should be made in the industry, but the industry is incredibly slow to change. And so it is interesting hearing how his fixes to it or what he would suggest and hope to do. So, but then again, that's conversation I don't want to completely spread out there, but anyway. Yeah.
Maybe we talk about it if you want to ask him that question.
I'll ask him in our interview with him.
Awesome. Yeah, and I know we are not being very poignant about this isn't even the con we're talking about. This is our experience, and a lot of our experience at Dragonsteel was both in, but just as much outside the con because it's the people you meet there.
Yeah.
It's very important. And that doesn't take away from we were literally at the con from dusk till dawn.
Yeah.
The whole time, going to panels, meeting, it was amazing. And this was also the same day. Again, we had our whole group there.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is the night we also did karaoke and had some fun. We have as we're going
Bookborn.
Through the pictures, it's me, you, and Bookborn. it sucks when you meet somebody that you think highly of them online. Like, oh, they mm-hmm. have really well. You just want to see the cracks form. You're like, ah, okay. They've got some. That's why the skeletons in their closet. That's sure. how they're able to do their witchcraft.
Yeah,
she's great.
She's great.
She's wonderful.
But also, was it just me of seeing her videos? I was like, she just projects tall woman energy.
Yeah.
She is very small.
She is small.
And that just surprised me. I don't know what I was thinking. It just was a gigantic surprise.
Because you're, I guess in your head, you're just going, okay, this is like the voice and the presence, the way it's constructed.
I should be looking up.
Yes.
And I'm looking down, and that's the wrong order of things.
You're not looking up at the podium. It's like, oh, I'm looking up to your opinion, but then literally.
Yes.
Yeah. And Bookborn was, this is how kind she was. She would go around at with our friend group that was there, all the patrons, and we'd just be at a table, and she'd keep running into us, chatting with not just us, but they had an awesome time. They were able to had conversations with Bookborn about Game of Thrones. I know Curtis is a huge fan of Game of Thrones, and they got the chat about that. Salty and Bookborn did, but every BookTuber, especially Bookborn, she went out of her way to even talk with our group that was there, which mm-hmm. was a lot of fun. And yeah, just bumped into her several times, and we were there for her panel, which she ran very well, which was talking about the Cosmere reading order. It was her, and it was Marty Jaden, and then the Nerd of the Rings.
Yes.
And then also, I'm so sorry, because I forget his channel name, but he was the guy in the middle. He came up to us right afterwards and said he watched our stuff, and he was also a very cool dude. I forget his name. Oh my God. I'm sorry. Well,
damn it.
What happened? But there are so many names.
There's too many names.
You're lucky people. We got your name right, Bookborn. Okay. So, and that was a fun panel to see.
I just appreciated how much Bookborn is so dedicated to, she's very passionate about having a non-opinion. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There are other people who are like, you know, there's the hippy dippy way of like, dude, just like read however you like. There's no right answer. There's just whatever you feel in the moment.
Yeah.
Like there's that kind of, and that was Bookborn's answer to reading orders. Like just read it however you want. Like there's no right answer. But she doesn't say it that way. She says it in a very authoritative way. Like there is no right answer.
Very tall energy.
If you say there's an answer, you're wrong and just ignorant. There is no right answer. And that is the correct answer.
I think you just respect firm opinions. And that's why you respect Bookborn.
That is true.
You respect somebody who presents a case and goes, I will stick that with that. Until proven otherwise, which is never.
Yes. I just very much appreciate a firm opinion.
Yes.
I don't care what it's about, as long as they're firm about it.
Like, well, okay, that's a bit out of left field, but at least you said it with your chest.
That's what's important. It's not about being right. It's about sending a message.
Conviction.
It's about convictions. That's all that matters.
Yes. So, yeah, that panel was a lot of fun. And we had, I think it was those five people. I'm not forgetting anybody there. And what do you think the correct Cosmere reading order is? Do you have your two cents? What would your firm opinion have been?
Oh, I could have a real great firm opinion. But personally, it would be reading Way of Kings, Words of Radiance, then Warbringer.
Warbreaker.
And
you'd start with Way of Kings. You'd say everybody should start there.
Yeah, why not? Let's start with Way of Kings. It's how I started. It's how everyone should start. That's how it goes. Maybe start with Mistborn. But no, we're going to start the way I want.
Sounds like you're saying it depends and you agree with Bookborn. I don't know.
You start with Way of Kings. And then, because this is funnier, after Oathbringer, you go back. And you also you had to read the other novellas in between there as well.
Of course, yep.
But then go all the way back to Mistborn Era 1. So read all of Mistborn Era 1 and Era 2. Then Secret History. Then read Rhythm of War. And then read Dawnshard. You can read Dawnshard there or before. I don't think it matters as much. And then you could read Wind and Truth.
Oh,
but everything else needs,
you people are so complicated.
No.
I would read a quarter of Way of Kings, stop, go to Elantris, go to chapter 3, stop, go back to Way of Kings, kind of mix it up.
Yeah.
Give yourself a little drawing, like, oh, I want you to go audio, digital, and physical, And then I want you to also to learn, what is it? Not ALS or sign, but...
ALS?
No, is the...
Braille.
Braille. Also learn Braille. Read it every way and make yourself really get immersed.
Yeah.
Actually, imagine four times immersion reading, listening, reading physical, Braille. What can you? What else can you do at the same time? That's like three... How can you get...
Do you taste it?
How do you get all five senses involved?
So just complete, licking the book. I smell the Way of Kings. It's, you just take the Way of Kings, put it in a blender, and put it in a humidifier. Journey before destination.
That would be a cool...
I don't snort lines. I snort paragraphs.
Oh, that would be a cool sci-fi concept of you can smell information.
Yeah.
Ooh. A fantasy magic system based on...
Smell?
But smelling information would be cool. I mean,
kind of.
Yeah.
But we kind of got that with Children of Time. Ish.
What?
Yeah. Then, you know how the creatures kind of work with pheromones? Like, that's kind of the pheromone memory stuff. Yeah.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Oh, the animals.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, no. Okay. Okay. That, you know, fair.
There you go.
Point proven. All right. At first, I was like, no, but then you bookborned me. You were firm about it.
I was firm. You're firm. And I was correct.
Yep. So, anyways, that was awesome meeting. Bookborn. I swear, every slide we're just talking like 30 minutes on.
I know.
Oh, and of course, we have Bookborn's husband as well, Zach Argyle. And we bought his book. Also really fun dude. He I forget the book he was selling there, but he has several books.
We have a lot of books.
Yes. Thank you. We actually were going up to Zach's booth, getting his book. And as we were getting his book, Bookborn came in. That's how we saw Bookborn for the first time, then saw her several times after that. And that's also cool to have a power couple of two in the fantasy space. Like, just such... Yeah. That's very cool. Brian Lee Durfee.
Oh, he's doing a lot better. I'm very happy for him. He was really going through it.
Yep.
It was not looking good for him, but now he just looks so much better.
Yes.
Well, he's going to get those gains back. I know he was upset that he lost a lot of his muscle mass, but he's going to make it back.
Yeah, Brian Lee Durfee was it a pancreas issue? I believe he had a pancreas issue and hospitalized severe. He was on his deathbed and miraculously survived. And you can see the picture in here now. He's looking much healthier than he was in the hospital. And like you said, he was disappointed because he lost a lot of his muscle mass and is able to lift less, doesn't feel himself. And totally, like, that could be really debilitating. But he's, from what we've seen from the hospital, looking a lot better.
Mm-hmm.
And continue. We saw him. He was eating dinner at the same place where we were having dinner with Rocchio and them. And he was chatted up with him a bit. So it was really cool to see him multiple times throughout the con. But
definitely.
Yes. Awesome seeing Brian. And then we had, Wesley Chu. And it was me, Wesley, there. We got his book, which was some awesome art from the artist who also did Yumi.
Yes. Great art, which...
Oh,
Couldn't afford it. Couldn't afford to buy it. Like, it's expensive in a long line, but I wanted to buy it, and I didn't.
Yeah.
I should have just put the money in anyway, but no, I at least got my book of his signed by both him and the artist, which is cool.
Yeah.
To have both signatures that way.
Yeah, it was, and the way she signed her books, like, come on.
Oh, yeah. Do I have them? I mean, it's somewhere. It's too hard to find it.
You know, it won't get it.
It's on the top shelf.
And just to show everybody, again, emphasizing the... emphasizing the fun time we had. This is a little bit of the karaoke we did back at the Airbnb.
You used to know!
That's us being... Go!
You
used to know. So anyways, we are also doing
that. Oh, yes, we are.
Oh, there's John. The right, fog. This is the pollution in Salt Lake.
The mists are out.
And back to that, so there's no audio. But yes, that was just some of our time after the con of going around seeing the fog, which was pollution. It was smog, right?
It's smog,
It was smog. Uh-huh. It was very much seemed like mistborn mists, and it
that's
was super
what,
cool.
That's what you think. And then once you find out Smog, it becomes far less mystified. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah.
Nice. And then we go on to, Rich, our day three, where we closed down the convention.
We did.
We had the last panel.
We had the last panel, which had more people than I thought it would.
It did.
It had a lot more people than I thought it would.
It did.
Also, had some one of the funniest moments from the from the con for me.
Which moment? At the panel?
Right after that panels, right before, we're taking pictures with our whole group. And
I have that here. Yes.
Instead of having Daniel take the picture with, like, he eventually did.
Yeah.
But instead of taking the picture with us, we made him take the picture for us.
So here's Daniel's reaction of, like, when Henka, our friend Henka, comes up to him and is like, hey, Daniel. And Daniel's like, oh, you want a picture with me? Of course. Let me. And Henka goes, no. Can you take it the for picture? Us. So this is his face. And then this is us cracking up because, Rich, there's you laughing. You could clear shot. Yeah, that was funny. And there's Jeff crying on the floor. And then this is the actual picture he took of us and the whole group we got. Bradley made it in the photo. There he is. He wasn't in the, because he showed up late as well to the con. He was
also, he was doing other stuff. He was going around the con.
He had his own adventure.
Yeah. But also it's part of it was we had VIP tickets, and so we had to abandon people.
That's also true.
That's also
we had to go
factor.
On our own path. Yes. That is a factor. But yeah, so and that was right after we had a like 30-minute chat or so with Daniel Green. He was super nice about giving some advice on publishing stuff and his book and just inside industry cool tidbits. Mm-hmm. He was very generous with information.
Yeah.
And that was really cool. And that is when we went into, actually that morning we saw Lynn Moore and Jenna. That's when we saw them for breakfast that morning. And also, I am so impressed. You know what? My name game is pretty, like, I'm 99 for 100 right now.
They're not notes?
They're not notes. I am so impressed. I do have breakfast with Lynn Moore down.
Okay, I thought you had notes for all these names entire time.
No, I've got
this,
like,
is just on you? You got these names?
This is in the dome.
I have never been more impressed with you. You have done something I can't even imagine.
I can't fathom.
I can't fathom that.
I have at the most, like, I have like dinner, Christopher. I knew Christopher's name and talking story, but that's from the dome.
Good job,
man.
I'm so proud of you.
But, sorry, I don't mean that breakfast, not just to brag about me and knowing their names, but that breakfast with Lynn Moore Jenna was so cool because they go around to different cons. And they are panelists at these cons, so we got to see how this Dragon Steel was different from others. Them saying how other ones were super small, and sometimes the booktubers and critics, they get together and have a fun time. Mm-hmm. Lynn Moore had this publishing house where we had him on our channel in an episode way back, which was really cool because he had this project he was working on.
Basically trying to be the A24 of book publishing.
Great idea.
Which, great idea, but he ran into the issue of... Basically, it wasn't even about the publishing aspect, none of the back end. It was just the number. He just did not get the number of submissions he really needed to be able to have a
quality.
thorough quality.
Yeah.
So it's really unfortunate, but it also makes sense in some degree of someone has that awesome novel that they just wrote. They're probably going to send it to Tor and other places, and they're not going to think to send it to Lynn Moore House. So... it makes sense, but it's a hard challenge to overcome.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the amount he learned from it, though, was really cool. And I think for us, we had some aspiration, which isn't our immediate aspiration, because it's definitely down the line, but publishing in some sort is something that we've thought about. I'm just saying that we have no receipts behind that whatsoever. Yeah. It's something we've talked about, and that it was cool to see, like, if we ever went down that avenue, cool insight from Lynn Moore.
Definitely.
Also, he hosted a panel where that was really cool as well with a bunch of indie authors. But Rich, I do want to say again, weaving back, this is why we call the channel To The Ramble.
Yeah.
Because we get away with stuff like this sometimes.
Oh, yeah, no, because...
We get away with this.
If you want to see an actual day-by-day succinct video talking about like what happened at Dragonsteel and just well cut together with videos from the event and interviews and just all around just better YouTube video on Dragonsteel.
100%.
Watch Talking Stories.
Yes.
Jacob did a great job then in that video, and he just did great.
Amazing.
Go watch that video. This is us just rambling about how we met a lot of new people and we're just so happy we meet so many friends. That was, sum up the video in like a few words. We made new friends. We're pretty happy about it.
We sniff books. That's what we've gotten so far.
Yeah.
That's we are also on John Jacob's channel, which is cool as well.
Yes.
We were on there. They had 3 Dragonsteel videos I know of. One breaking it down, one where it was their weekly reader where we filmed a 40-minute video with them on their channel Talking Story, and then another one where they kind of did interviews with some people, and that was on the first day. They interviewed Marty and Jaden. They interviewed us real quick thing. So they did a lot of cool content. Marty and Jaden did live streams from Dragonsteel. Everybody was doing content and giving you people what you wanted in a timely manner, like right on the same day, live streams, publishing it. Here we are. Well, a month away. More.
How long did it take us to actually do the Wind and Truth video?
Yeah, a while.
Yeah.
A while.
I don't know if, because we haven't done it yet as of recording this video.
That's right.
So it may go up before this video or after, but no, we're taking our time.
It'll be up after.
You think it'll be up after? We're not going to expedite that
one? We're expediting this one for sure.
Yeah, okay.
And it's still going to be a little late. So two things with that. One, Rich and I...
We're not timely.
No.
Never. But
Rich and I, with the timeliness factor, so if people are curious about that, we do have a 3-week production timeline because we have an editor. Mm-hmm. So it's like a video we record goes up. It usually takes 3 weeks, 2 if we're rushing it, because we want to give space for him to be able to have an upload set if sickness happens, it's ahead of time. That's one reason. Second, we used to do movie reviews in the sort where we'd be recording that. I'd be editing it Sunday night, releasing it Monday morning. Like, we'd have timely stuff and that would do well and whatnot. But I think the advantage we have of a podcast is, and it being books, is
people are patient. It's books.
It's okay.
It's fine.
It's
you
okay.
Can wait a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm just coping for my Howling Dark review taking a year.
Did that take a year?
8 months. I think it was 8 months.
Oh, yeah. That we can't. We got to go a little quicker.
I didn't like Empire of Silence, though. That was the issue. I didn't like it.
I know.
But I love it now.
But now you're on board.
I'm on board now. But so now to give us the wrap up of where this all came back to with our friends who we started the con with. We have had Summer, the Summer from New Zealand. She did a whole U.S. American trip where she went from Salt Lake City, then flew to New York City, then came to our area in Virginia, D.C. area. And we even hung out with her here, her and Coop and Coop and Rebecca. And she then went to Seattle to see Curtis. But all these, they're all genuine friends. And it's just, it's cool. Again, us gushing about we're happy that you're turning 20.
We made friends. You guys did.
But it's the thing you were talking about of, like, you know, you turn 27 and you look back at last year and you go, you know, at the age 26, I did something.
I made new friends at Dragonsteel.
It was
good.
Fun. And as much as we're laughing, smiling, like, in the moment was such a sad goodbye. And, like, oh, it was.
Yeah. You know what I'm also going to commit to?
What?
For next. You know, this is timely. You know, where it's, you know, October 30th today.
Okay.
So almost New Year's.
Yep.
I'll commit to. I had a good, year 26.
Wait, what,
for
you
myself.
Said it's October 30th? What did you just say?
December. Oh. December 30th.
Yeah, it's December.
My bad. But I'm going to have a good year 27. You know why?
Why?
Because I will have completed my book by the end of that year.
Oh, you're completing a
by
book?
By the time I turn 28, I will have my book done.
Good. Published?
Done.
Done. Written. At least the first draft.
You can never... Nah. Done. I'll have it done.
Edited.
Edited and done.
I like that.
You have no control over publishing powers. But
at least self-publishing.
I have no idea.
Yeah, that might take a while.
Yeah, I have no idea what's going to happen. But amazing. I will commit to that.
That's your New Year's resolution or your birthday resolution.
Yeah.
In a way. Fair enough.
Yeah, basically. But it's more of a, I'm wondering, will I complete a book quicker than you? That's kind of what's motivating me.
There's no better way to motivate you than spite and my oppression.
Well, my hope is to not mention it again after this.
And just be done.
And then just out of the blue go, I'll never talk to you about it, and I'll just show up and put a stack of papers on your
desk
and
Sanderson
go,
me?
I wrote a book.
You're going to Sanderson Secret Project me?
I think so.
Oh,
it's just going to be there.
What if you come at
the
end of the year with four books like Sanderson?
Yeah, it'd be great. I had a good year. Like, I had a fun time.
I hope you do it.
Yeah.
That'd be amazing. So the end of the con, this is some of the goodbyes that we had. This is, we kind of, after the panel that we shut down the convention with, it was on world building. We were giving some world building feedback. People were coming up doing Q&As, asking questions. Actually, very cool. Again, we're going to post those panels on the channel. But after the con ended, everyone kind of hovered and conglomerated into this hallway right outside the room where we were speaking. And there's just a group of 25, 30 of us who were standing there kind of not wanting to leave, just getting out the last seconds of the con. Because once you walk out those doors, you're going back home and that's it. You're done. The trip's over. And we had the walkaways and the goodbyes. Here's a couple of videos from there. And
I promise I won't post any dirty memes in your Discord.
No. That was a lie.
That's John and Jacob walking away. And then this is Marty and Jaden walking away.
I hate to see you go. You guys have to pause that I love to watch you leave.
You won't post dirty memes in your Discord.
Don't make promises.
And then lastly,
you finally came back for cigarettes.
Everybody's saying their goodbyes. That's Orkish Dad was there too.
Oh,
Orkish, yes.
We didn't get enough photos with him.
There's Summer tearing up and all the goodbyes and very sad. And then very sad. And to end the con, we of course had to do this. The message of this podcast is embrace the weird.
Yeah.
Embrace the weird. And we certainly, the last thing we did in the room, the atrium of sorts, I don't know what you call those entrance rooms. You get what I'm talking about.
Mm.
We decided we were going to sing.
Oh, God. Yeah. There we go.
That was so lame.
We're trying to do the Halo theme. The whole group of us was like, as a goodbye.
Here's the thing. I appreciate how we were very comfortable being just so dumb and real lame with each other. You know, like,
that's what I appreciated about them. That's different from our friend group back home here. Because our friend group, they can get a little milk toast.
Sometimes I want them to break some rules, you know?
Yeah.
Like, just be, I don't know.
No, put some dirt in his eye, you know?
Yeah, throw some dirt in your eye.
Do something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And I had this last bit here. So we've been talking about the con from our perspective. This is Anais, and she sent a video. I asked if anybody wanted to give some 2 cents of how was your experience at the con.
Mm.
She puts it much more succinctly than us, gives you the perspective. So I guess just to be like, hey, is this Rich and I's fairyland of we thought it was good and fun?
No.
Well, here's another perspective. Anais was kind enough to send this video. Here we go. I'm going to get that up. And there we are.
Hi, my name is Ness, and I went to the Dragonsteel convention this year, which was amazing. I really recommend. My expectations were very high. I had been planning this trip for maybe a year, and I was spending so much money and going all the way from Spain. And I was also very nervous because I didn't really know the people that I was going to be spending my time with. And it was just such a good experience. The Rambler House and everybody that I met there, which are now my friends, was incredible. I would really recommend, if you go to the convention, to go a couple of days before or after, because I really liked Utah, which I didn't think I was going to do. And 3 days is so short. the best part was spending time with the people, and so I was very happy to be in the house for a full week. So that was very nice. And the convention itself was amazing as well. There were so many different things to do, different types of activities as well. So there was a little bit for everybody. There was the board game and the arts and crafts, and you had panels going on all times and more than one at different times. And you could go shopping and you could get your passport stamped. So many things to do. You really couldn't do all of them. And you just had to choose a few key things that you didn't want to miss, and then just went with the flow.
Mm-hmm.
Nice and also the people. I think the people were the best part. I felt so welcomed, and everybody was so happy and open and easy to interact with. There were some trading cards that you could use to walk up to someone, and there was also like the queues and the panels, and everybody was dressed in costume, so it was very easy to talk with people. I met some ones that had gone completely alone, and they had no trouble making friends and joining up. And I think that was super special. Everybody was also super nice about levels of fandom. And yeah, that was the best thing. I loved it. I had an amazing experience. And I guess if you went, you know it. If you didn't go, I don't want to make you jealous. I just want you to consider
what we did the whole time, Ines.
Maybe once in your life, if you get the chance. Because it really was a once-in-a-lifetime experience for me.
Well said. We could have just had this video be 2 minutes, to be honest with you. Yeah. And that would have cleared it right there.
Also, she had some great cosplay going.
She did.
One of my favorites was she had a Sunlit Man cosplay, which was great.
Yes.
She did a bunch of the Secret Project ones. So
we didn't mention the cosplay. Like there was that guy in the shard plate.
Oh, the glowing and mist emanating shard plate.
Insane.
So cool.
Very cool.
3D printing has really upped the cosplayer game.
It has. Yeah. It has. But she said that all very well. And I guess in this Gush Fest, if you want to go to a future Dragonsteel, highly recommend doing it. And
I don't think we're going to be going to the next one.
Correct.
Because that was a lot. Got to do other things.
Yeah. I mean, expensive. Also, the experience was so amazing for us there. I feel like almost be a letdown because the whole group's not going, and not a Wind and Truth release. But
we'll mention if we're going to another different convention. But
absolutely,
definitely should check if you're able to check out Dragonsteel. It was a great convention for us, so I hope it's amazing for 2025.
Yes, Rich. With that, would you like to sign off with a proper Dune impression?
Okay, let's see if my throat's a little better.
All right,
join me with it.
Oh, actually, before doing that, double check with, so the last things, the whole storyboard thing we have behind you, we'll have to ask patrons about that. That's one thing. Second, I just want to make it clear. It's like, there's no comment thing at the end of the video. We're not like, this isn't an official giveaway. We're deciding that
it's
with the page.
It's on our Patreon Discord stuff.
So I don't want to like be anybody, you don't have to comment anything. The only thing you should comment is like, hey, I'm jealous. Yeah. Good. So are you ready?
Yeah.
All right. Embrace the weird.
Embrace the weird.
Embrace the weird.
Be dumb. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets. Guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Tenemos noticias muy potentes. Planet Fitness añadió nuevos equipos de fuerza. Ahorra al inscribirte hoy y sé uno de los primeros en probarlos. Estamos subiendo el listón con nuevos bancos. Y con nuestro nuevo Hack Squat estarás deseando ejercitar las piernas. Además, seguimos ofreciendo el mismo equipo de primera que siempre hemos tenido. Inscríbete hoy a Planet Fitness y ahorra. Solo $1 de cuota inicial, $15 al mes. Visita tu club local para más información.